I want to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want you to read a few verses with me and pay close attention to what the writer says. When we get to the verse that I'm interested in mostly this morning, you'll find that it's stated several other times, almost the exact same thing in the New Testament. And yet folks don't believe it. Folks believe they can do these things and they're still going to go to heaven. Folks can commit these sins and live in these sins and they're still going to go to heaven. But what saith the Lord? That's all that matters. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, they were passed away, and there was no more sea. You ever seen that? A new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth nothing but righteousness. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first one had passed away, and no more people there. It's empty. No more people. But next verse, we begin to find the people. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, that's the people, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. That's the church. That's the redeemed church. That's the fully, completely saved church there, conformed to the image of Christ, dwelling in a new heaven, new earth. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God wouldn't dwell in temples made with hands, but he dwells in his people. They are the tabernacle of God. And he shall dwell with them. What good news, glorious, wonderful news. Without intermission, without interruption, he shall dwell with them in this new earth forever. And they shall be his people. And he's going to take care of his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a wonderful thing to think about. And in this new heaven and new earth, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I've had tears this week, but if I make it to this place, I won't have any more. And there shall be no more death. We see death all around us, day after day. But in this place, there'll be no more, because there's no more sin. Neither sorrow. Oh, we live in a land of sorrow and pain and trials, heartache. No crying, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain. For all these former things, these natural things, they've all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, this is our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words. Write, for these words are true and faithful. And everybody ought to pay attention. They come from God. They come from the throne. They come from the Lamb. And he said unto me, it's done. The mystery of God is finished. Time shall be no more. We have a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth nothing but righteousness. The mystery of God, the gospel, Christ has done his work and is finished. It's done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I'll give it to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life, freely and forever. Feast on Christ forever. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Paul said, the apostles are yours, this is yours, that's yours, the world's yours, everything's yours. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God. He shall be my son. Now we have this conjunction here, verse 8, but. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. What's it say next? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. Not going to be liars in glory. And let me see if I can find something here. Verse 27 of the same chapter. There shall in no wise enter into this city anything defileth, whosoever worketh abomination or makes a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. No liars in glory. And then in chapter 22 and verse 15, outside this city are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and all those who love and make lies. They won't be in that city. A man said one time years ago, I heard it on tape, he said, only honest folks go to heaven. Only honest folks go to heaven. And I believe that's true according to God's word. Liars and deceivers, pretenders. You know the people that Christ got on to the heaviest while he was here on this earth, the religious leaders. Over and over and over, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you bunch of hypocrites. John the Baptist called them a bunch of snakes. Woe unto you, dishonest, pretenders, hypocrites. And our Lord stood before these religious leaders and their hypocrisy, pretense. And he said, the publicans and the harlots, the thieves and the whores, enter the kingdom of God before you do. That must have been quite a shock to them. Now, the title of my message this morning is that all liars go to hell. All liars go to hell. And boy, we've got them. We've got them out of the church. We've got them in the church. We've got them in the pulpit. But all liars. That's what it said, isn't it? That what God said? All liars go to hell. All liars are cast into the fire and brimstone. All liars. Those who love lies. Those who tell lies. Those who live on lies. They're all going to hell. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And one of the words in those Ten Commandments, of the ten words, is this. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor. That's just what it says. And it simply means, don't lie. Don't deceive. Be honest. Be honest. Now, when our father Adam sinned in the garden, he became a liar. He became a liar. God chased him down, and immediately he began to try to cover himself and deceive and cast the blame on somebody else. Just everything, but honestly facing up to it. He wouldn't do it. He became a liar. And the Bible says that since that time, every child born into this world is a liar and a deceiver. They come forth from the womb speaking lies. talking about me. That's talking about you. It's talking about all of us by nature. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. Psalm 58, verse 3. We are natural born liars and deceivers. And that puts us in big trouble because God said none of you are going to enter heaven. You're not going to come into this new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No liars up here. Just honest folks. Just honest folks. We're natural born liars and deceivers. The heart. My natural heart. My heart by nature. Is deceitful above all things. And the Bible says desperately. And that's a medical term. Means incurably wicked. You can't fix it. My heart deceives me. It's deceitful above everything else, and you can't fix it. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 said, God said, I looked down upon these men that I'd made. And he said, the thoughts and imaginations of his heart were evil continually. Only evil, continually, always evil, and you can't fix it. Only God can fix it, and the way God fixes it is to give a new heart. Give them a new heart. That's part of the covenant. I'll give them a new heart. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. As God looks at us, he don't look on the outward appearance. He sees through all of our pretense and hypocrisy and put on. And he said, only evil. I see nothing but evil. Every thought and intent of the heart. Every thought and imagination of the heart. Now, brothers and sisters, I've been thinking about this for several days. And I had reasons for this subject coming to mind that I won't even talk about, but I didn't come here this morning to preach you a sermon. I came here this morning to talk to us, me, and you, to be honest. I think I have a message from God, and I hope we can all hear it. I hope we can. But I thought, sitting at home, I think like this sometimes because I'm not going to be here much longer. I thought, what a wonderful thing it would be if we lived in a land of perfect honesty. We will someday, those of us who make it. Perfect honesty. Be no more lies. No more half-truths. No more pretending. No more put on. No more hypocrisy, just plain, simple honesty. Straightforwardness. Do you like straightforwardness? You don't get much down here. People are beat around the bush and come up on you from the backside, and like they did Christ, try to trip him up with their words. And you don't have much straightforwardness down here. You're going to have it up there, whoever makes it. Whoever makes it. By nature, we lie to each other. We lie to ourselves. We deceive each other. We deceive ourselves. We pretend to be not what we are, but what we want people to think we are. We pretend to be more than what we are. That's dishonest. That's deceitful. That's a lie. That's living a lie. And God said, no such folk enter the kingdom of God. No pretenders. No dishonesty. No hypocrisy and glory. It's all gone. It's all gone. Listen to this. This I said before, and I'll bring it back to you another time or two perhaps. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in a world where there'd and no dishonesty. When a man spoke, you knew he was telling the truth. You never suspected otherwise. You never had any suspicions he might not be telling the truth. You just trusted him. Honesty. But my friends, by nature, we can't trust ourselves. Our own hearts deceive us. Mine does me. Our own hearts deceive us. By nature, we love darkness rather than light and truth. That's what God said. That's what Christ said. He said, this is your condemnation. Light, perfect light has come into the world. You love darkness rather than light. You love darkness rather than light. And in our sinful, deceitful selves, we figure out ways that seem right to us. And God said in Proverbs in two different passages, it seems right, but it's always the way to destruction. You don't know the right way. You're children of darkness and death. In this land in which we live, there's lots of suspicion, lots of distrust, lots of lies, lots of deceit. And you know that if you've been listening to the news since they've been running for election, these people, they dig up things, half-truths, anything to get an advantage, anything but be straightforward, anything but be honest. They're liars! And deceivers, pretenders, like to put on. Lots of suspicion and lots of distrust. We suspect ourselves and we suspect others, not telling the truth. And it's good that we do. Christ said when he comes to preachers, you better check them out by this word. World's full of antichrist gone out preaching, transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, try to make themselves look like the sheep of Christ, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Better check them out. In this land of darkness and night and lies and deception, nations deceive nations. Been happening ever since I can remember. Trying to get advantage of each other. Trying to get an upper hand. Nations deceive nations. Neighbors deceive neighbors. Family members deceive each other. Husbands deceive wives. Wives deceive their husbands. Children deceive the parents. Parents deceive the children. We live in a land of darkness and lies and deception and death all around us. It's in us too. It's in us too, not just around us. And yet the Word of God stands just as firm as ever. God's Word has never changed. People might be getting better at deceit, better at lying. But God's Word had never moved one inch. Never changed. God said in His Word, don't lie. Don't deceive. Thou shalt not. Don't do it. And God, if you turn to Proverbs just a moment. Proverbs chapter 6. God has another word about liars and deceivers. I'll make it directly. Proverbs chapter 6. We look on the outward appearance. We condemn men in outward things. And yet God still looks on the heart. He hadn't changed. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. What we are is right here in our hearts. And God says this, Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven, and they are an abomination to him. They are an abomination to God. The first one is a proud look. What do you have that you haven't received? Nothing but our sin. What do we have to be proud of? Nothing. Nothing. The first one, the proud look, and the second one is a lying tongue. These six things are an abomination to God. Hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet swift in running to mischief, and it comes up again, a false witness, liars and deceivers. These six things does God hate. It seems that these six things are especially offensive to our God. And it seems that these six things are an abomination to him. These six things, he hates them. These six things offend our God and stir up his hatred, liars and deceivers. And he uses this word abomination. You see that in the scriptures. We've seen it already two or three times this morning. What does that mean? That means that which is detestable. That which he absolutely abhors. That which is loathsome to him. Can't stand it. Awful. Liars and deceivers. They are saying by their conduct, by their talk, that they do not know. They do not know the holy, omniscient, omnipresent God. They don't live as if they were in his presence at all. They don't think that he hears my words and he knows my thoughts before they ever come to mind. They don't think about that. They don't know God. They have a form of godliness, perhaps, but they don't know God. I figured out years ago, when I was a very young man, a young Christian, two different kinds of people in this world. Those who live before God and those who just live before men. Those who seek the good opinion of God, influenced by what God says, and those who are influenced by other men. There were two classes. These people are not God conscious. They have no fear of God. They do not live as in the presence of God. But the Bible teaches us in the epistles that God's people live as before God with singleness of heart. They obey their masters. With singleness of heart, they do their jobs because they serve the Lord God. It doesn't matter whether you work at GE or whether you work digging ditches. You're working for God. God's people understand that. God's people understand that. And on their jobs, the first thing is to please the Lord. Please the Lord. Please the Lord. But these people do not live in God's presence. They do not live before God. And I wrote this down and I thought about it. And a man that can live like this is in awful condition. They have freedom. They have freedom to lie and deceive and pretend and put on. Those men to whom God has given such freedom, they shall perish. God's people fear God. God's people are chastened of the Lord. God's people are God conscious. They don't live isolated from God. They live in the presence of God. When God saves a sinner, He translates him into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of truth and makes him honest. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and boy, God sinks it in. He exposes you to yourself before God, and you never get over it. Live with God. Look at Ephesians just a moment. The book of Ephesians, just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22. You put off that old man concerning the former lifestyle. Put off that old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And quit lying like you used to. I know you born liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. But He said, you're a new creature. You're born of God. You're created in righteousness and true holiness. Don't do these things anymore. And they don't. And they don't. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Because what? We're members one of another. Church members, dishonest with church members, working underhanded, conniving, contriving, and everything else to get their way and slip up on the blind side and the back side. Wherefore, put away lying, speak the truth. We're members of each other. We're all one with members of Christ and joined to Christ and members one of another. Members one of another. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore. And that word followers here means imitators. Be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all these things of the flesh, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you, as becometh the saints of God. Not only restrain from evil, but all appearance of evil. Don't let these things once be named among you. Neither filthiness. Now this means what we're noted for. When people think of us, it's what we think about. Do they think of filthiness and foolish talking and jesting and joking and carrying on crazy all the time, which are not convenient, but rather be thankful. And don't worry about letting everybody know it. You're thankful. For this you know, no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them in coming under the wrath of God. For you were sometimes, now here's the difference, here's the change, here's the transformation. You were sometimes darkness, lies and deceit, death, but are now light in the Lord. You not only have the light, you've not only seen the light, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is that good and acceptable, what is acceptable unto God. You are light. And now I'm going to show you something about 1 John chapter 1. I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5, 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and which we declare unto you, that God is light, perfect light, pure light, truth. God is light. And in Him there is not a speck of darkness. He is light, all light, perfect light. If we say that we have fellowship with God, this God of light, and walk in darkness, we're just lying to ourselves, and we don't know the truth. Isn't that what it says? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There are some children of light in this world. When they meet together as a body, God said it's a light set on a hill. The church, a light set on a hill, and can't be hid. They live before God. They're honest. They love each other. They love God. They love the truth. They love the glory of God. And God says, you're a new man. Put away lying. Put away these other things of the flesh. These deceitful lusts of the flesh. Because you're a new creature in Christ. You're created of God in righteousness and true holiness. And they do. They do. They've become honest. They've been made honest before God. They are God conscious. They live before God. They walk before God. They talk before God. You know, I get away with lying to y'all. I could tell you a different kind of lies, perhaps, and get away with it. But I think about Joseph back there in Pharaoh's house. And how can I do this wickedness? Sin against my God. I'm conscious of God. God lives with me. God lives in me. He restrains these things. Those who have, and I repeat, those who have the freedom to lie and deceive and pretend, work underhandedly, are lost and dead. Not too long ago in a church, I heard a tape, and this pastor said, I've been accused of lying to folks. And he said, I have lied to some people. And he said, some people have lied to me. He said, we're all liars. And I heard chuckling in the background. It was funny. Do you read what we said here? Ain't no liars going to go to heaven. Isn't that what it said? No liars in glory. Yeah, we all lie. And then they all laugh. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Show you something. This know also, that in the last days, these days in which we live, perilous, dangerous, troublesome times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I think that's pretty evident in a lot of cases. Most cases. They'll be covetous. Boasters. Oh, they can boast in deciding for Jesus. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. Look at that next one. Truth breakers. You can't believe a word they say. Swear on Mama's Bible. You can't believe a word they say. False accusers. Liars. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And all they have is a form. This is a bad part. If this was just talking about the world, that John, it wouldn't be such perilous times. We're talking about churches. These people go to church. They have a form of godliness. They come together with their Bibles and meet together in the presence of God, saying praises unto God. They're just as lost can be. And on down here it says, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse and worse, deceiving others and themselves. Deceiving others and themselves. Well, I've got to close this down. They are deceived. They have only a dead form. They're deceived themselves and they're deceiving others. Liars and deceivers. And God said, and I noticed that word back there in Revelation 21, all liars, are cast into hell. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, and it says, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. They shall see the Lord. What does that mean? Some people say they have said that means they're a perfection, you know, perfection. And nothing could be further from the truth. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. It means God's made them honest. They have an honest, sincere heart before God. They're not playing games. They have no false ideas about what their trust is. It's only Christ. They have no righteousness to trust in. They're poor in spirit. They're mourners before God. They're meek. And they seek after righteousness. Not theirs, but another's. The Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does that mean? First of all, it means this. It means a heart from the Lord. God said, I give... Let me read it to you. It's just right a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 10. Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. God's people, those who know God, are not to be driven by the whip of the law, nor frightened into obedience by the hounds of hell. They serve God willingly from the heart. God put His law in their heart, not written on their clothing and on the doorpost. It's in here, up here. God did. I'll put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts. I'll be to them a God, they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And in that Ezekiel 36, where this is said the first time, it says, I'll give them a new heart, I'll put a new spirit in them. Give them a new heart, put a new spirit in them. They know the Lord. They're submissive. They're obedient to the Word of God. They seek to please God. They're interested and concerned and governed by the Word of God, the presence of God. Secondly, truth It's not just out here flying around up here in the head. It's on the inside. David said in Psalm 51, Lord, you require truth on the inside. Truth on. I write my laws in their mind. Put my laws in their hearts. That new heart that I gave. Truth is on the inside. Engrafted truth. The living truth. And that spells reality. Reality. We're not just talking about doctrine. We're talking about things that are real. Real. Presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the will of God. And these men are honest and earnest and sincere. They walk with God at church. They walk with God at home. They walk with God at work. They walk with God at play. Recreation. They live with God. They like Enoch, they walk with God. Oh, Enoch walked with God wherever. He lived before God. He walked with God. Somebody said one time, and he took a walk one evening, never did come back, just walked right into glory. God took him. These folks are honest with God. They're honest with the Word of God. They don't try to twist it to fit their preconceived notions. There is what they call in theology hermeneutics. That's a principle of interpreting this book. Lots of people interpret this book in their light, their preconceived notions of prophecy. If it doesn't fit their prophecy, they won't have it. In our day, most everybody interprets this book in the light of, does it fit their notion of free will? And if it don't fit in that free will concept they have, they won't have it. They reject it, they ignore it, they cast it aside, they twist it, whatever they do, distort it. But we interpret the Scriptures in light of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what all the Scriptures are about. That's what all the Scriptures are about. They're honest with God and His Word. And they're honest with themselves. God has to teach a fellow that. And they're honest with others. They don't play games. They live before God. Someone once said, and I repeat, Rolf Barnard's the one said it, only honest folk go to heaven. Rest of them go to hell. Because they're not honest in dealing with God. They're not honest in dealing with His Word. They're not honest in dealing with our sinful condition. And they're not honest in dealing with grace. Dishonest. Those who have a new heart are honest and sincere and earnest. Let me give you three passages. They see Christ. They trust Christ. They don't try to add their righteousness. They've been made honest before God. We have none. Simple trust and faith in Christ. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's true. But Paul says, how can they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in Him of whom they've never heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? And that's a big problem with this generation. The most of them, the majority of them, have never heard the story of who Christ is, where He came from, what He became, what He accomplished, and where He is and what He's doing now. I think David mentioned some of those things this morning. They've never heard the truth. They've heard about another Jesus. And consequently, Psalm 145 and verse 18 says this. What good news. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. Are you a caller upon the Lord? But it adds this one statement to those that call upon Him in the truth. You can't dispense with the truth. You can't get around the truth. They call upon Him in truth. as he is, as they are, they call upon him. In Jeremiah 29, turn there just a moment. I want you to see this. Jeremiah 29. And verse 12, then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I'll listen to you, I'll hear you. You shall seek me and find me, not by some form of routine man-made prayer, but you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Honest, sincere, earnest. The Apostle Paul in his dying day said, oh, that I might win Christ, know Christ, be found in Christ. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I'll be found of you. You'll find me. I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. Where do they find? In the truth. In the truth. And you better check this book, see if you're calling on the right Jesus or not. The one I'm hearing about today, he couldn't save a flea. But the Jesus of this book, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to him. All that come to him. May God bless these words to every heart. I guess I'm saying this. Don't trifle with holy things. Don't trifle with God. Don't play. Be honest. Be honest. Or you won't be saved. Okay, David.